don't think Chris understands how dangerous it is to put that little thing right there. I have been known to knock microphones off their stand. I'll try to be a little more careful. It is so good to be back in Paulding for a little while and be able to see so many of you that we've come to know over the years and love so much, and we've missed the opportunity for a few years to come up and be with you. I noticed as we were driving up this morning that there's still a lot of farming that goes on around here, that you've planted a whole bunch of windmills down south, and they look like they've grown up just fine. We were surprised at that. The last time we were here, we didn't see all those windmills, but it was a nice drive for us today, and to get a chance to be back with you is something we've really looked forward to over the last few months, as we knew of the opportunity we would have, Lord willing, to be here together with you and talk about God's undying love, and to be able to talk about understanding God's love in order to help us as we live our lives together. Today, as we talk about understanding godly love, as we've considered the importance of love already this morning, and as Bob had led us to consider the activities of love in our lives, we now want to consider the steadfastness of love. And any discussion of these things must begin with an understanding of the character of our God and the example that He gives us of how to express that love in the way that He has loved us and shown His love for us. Because as it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. God is fully the embodiment of love, and if we are to understand godly love, then we must understand God. It's the only way that we'll understand godly love. This morning, I'm not sure that everybody knows this song, but if you'd like to sing along with me, I'd invite you to. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my fortress, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my fortune, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. If you got your Old Testaments with you this morning, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3 is where that song that we just sang together originates. And it tells us something of the love of God. As we talk about understanding godly love, as we think about especially the steadfastness of love this morning, we'll take a little bit of time looking at some of these other verses before we go to 1 Corinthians 13 and conclude our thoughts there in just a moment. In Lamentations chapter 3, if you begin verse 22, it'll sound very familiar. In the New King James, it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The King James translation, the New King James translation, translate the word hesed, or some people would say chesed, the Hebrew word where we get the steadfast love in the song. It is in the Revised Standard Version and the New Revised Standard Version, as well as the more recent English Standard Version, that you see the words, the steadfast love of the Lord. The King James many times translates that same word in the Hebrew as mercies. Others translate it as loving kindnesses. Some just translate it as love. Some just as kindness in the different translations. But the word hesed is used nearly 300 times in the Old Testament, and it is a word that is difficult for us to translate into the English with just one English word. As we think about the word loving kindness, we get a certain idea in our mind. As we think of the word mercies, we get a certain idea in our mind. If we say the steadfast love of the Lord, we get yet another thought that comes to mind. And the richness of this word in the Hebrew language is something that sometimes escapes us a little bit as we try to translate it into just one thought or one word. And we're going to focus on the steadfast love that is used in the Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard, and the English Standard versions there in Lamentations chapter 3. It's interesting that when some of the people who speak Hebrew, in the modern Hebrew translations of the New Testament, that they use the word hesed to translate what in our English is the word grace, the Greek charis. And the word grace is the word that is used in the English in the New Testament that in modern Hebrew translations is sometimes translated into hesed. And so the same thing we're talking about from Lamentations here, this idea of mercies, loving kindnesses, the steadfast love of the Lord is sometimes thought of by the people who speak Hebrew in the context that we would be thinking in the New Testament of grace. And of course we know that there is no possibility of grace without God's love, is there? Without God's love, there is no grace. And so it's understanding, it is not hard for us to understand then, I think, that they would translate into the modern Hebrew the word grace in our English, charis in the Greek, by the word hesed. And the idea of the steadfast love of the Lord as we see here in Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah is writing, sometimes called the weeping prophet. The idea of Lamentations, of course, focuses on the fact that Jeremiah lives in a time when there are things to lament. There are things that they are sad about. There are things that they have cried over. They are living during a time when Babylon has come in and assaulted Judah. They have come into Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem in 586 B.C. They have carried off many of the Hebrews captive and scattered them into different parts of the Babylonian Empire. And as Jeremiah sees these things coming, as Jeremiah witnesses these things as they take place, he certainly it would be understandable, I think, on our part, if he were to just be so sad. And yet, as we see Jeremiah in the midst of all these distressing, discouraging, depressing situations going on in his life and in the life of his people, he writes these words, "The steadfast love of the Lord." The steadfast love of the Lord is what he focuses on. And he hasn't given up on his God. And his God, he believes, hasn't given up on them. Now you realize, of course, don't you, that before the Babylonian captivity, that the Hebrew people were already told that they were going to be in captivity a long time. You remember how many years? 70 years, right? 70 years in captivity. He knows this is not going to be something that is fixed quickly. He knows that he's looking at a long time before the Hebrew people are able to come back to their land and to be able to have of those promises that they so much look forward to. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's what Jeremiah thinks about when he thinks about the situation they're in. He sees through and he sees past the difficulties that they're facing, looking forward to the future because of the faithfulness of his God in expressing his steadfast love, his love that would endure forever despite the unfaithfulness of his people. You know, as badly as the people of Judah had been treating God, you would think that he might be willing to just kind of let it all go. You know, there was another time when he thought he might just let it all go. Do you remember that? Back in the days of Noah, when every thought and intent of the heart of the people on earth was to do evil continually. And yet, God, in his desire to cleanse the earth at that time, runs into a man named Noah, who was still righteous despite all the evil and wickedness of the world. And he, in his steadfast love and mercy, saves Noah and his family. And the rest of the world, by a great flood, is destroyed. But the steadfast love of the Lord endured in that time, didn't it? And the steadfast love of the Lord would endure during those days of the Babylonian captivity. Those children of Israel would come back from Babylonian captivity, and they would once again inhabit the promised land. They would rebuild the temple. They would once again have the opportunity to be on Zion's hill, offering their sacrifices in the temple of their Lord and God. This steadfastness of God's love comes through to us in other songs we sometimes sing. I'm not sure that you sing this song here. It doesn't seem like we hear it or sing it quite as much as we might have used to. But do you remember the song, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go"? When we're talking about the steadfastness of love, that's what we're talking about. A love that will not let us go. Bob mentioned the fact that we still sin. We still face difficult times in our lives when our faith is not what it should be, when our lives in Christ are not what they should be. But God won't let us go. As we think about a love that will not let us go, we know that the message is that God refuses to give up on His people. We sometimes give up on ourselves, but God won't give up on us. We may sometimes give up on each other in the church, but God won't give up on us. God has a love that will not let us go. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This enduring love is seen in the father of the prodigal son. The father of the prodigal son, who all the time that son was off in his riotous living stage, and then one day comes home, the father is out there looking. And he sees the son coming. And what's the father do? Cross his arms and just wait? Got a few things I want to say to you, boy. Where you been? What do you think you've been doing? Now the steadfast love of that father had him running to catch his boy as he came up the way. And as he caught up with his boy, as they hugged each other, as they kissed each other, as they got ready to make the fatted calf for a celebration and a feast. Now sometimes the other brother is more like, God forbid, what we sometimes are. We still want to put the boy on probation. We still want him to prove that he's not just back to take advantage of Dad. But Dad wasn't worried about that. Dad's steadfast love for the boy never ceased while he was out there living in the pig pen. God's steadfast love for us never ceases, even if we get down in the mud with the pigs. Now, He doesn't want us there. He doesn't like that we are there. But His steadfast love doesn't stop when we're there. He continues to love us. He continues to want us. And I believe that it was Noel who read from Romans chapter 5. We're going to read it again here as we think about the steadfast love of our God. In Romans chapter 5, and again in verses 6 through 11, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know who that is, don't you? That's you and me. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, you hear all those words? Sound like pig pen? Yeah. The ungodly, the sinners, the enemies of God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. To be made friends again. To be able to overcome what once divided us. The problem is that we have sinned. The problem is not that God's ears are plugged up and He can't hear us. The problem is not that His arm is too short that He can't reach us. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The problem is our sins have come between us and God. And He could have said, okay, that's your bed, you lie in it. That's not the way He behaved. And for those of us who want to understand godly love, that can't be the way we behave either. Our love must remain steadfast. It must endure. It must not cease. Even when those we love are in the pig pen. As we think about these things, the enduring love that will not let us go, as seen in Romans chapter 5, it's the only reason that we're not consumed. Because we know what our sins really deserve, don't we? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't have any problem understanding that. There's none of us righteous, not one of us. Romans chapter 3. But God's ceaseless love, God's enduring love, God's steadfast love that will not let us go is what we're talking about this morning. Now, it's one thing to talk about these things and understand our God better, but in understanding God better, what are we really trying to do? We're really trying to become more like Him, aren't we? I mean, we can sit in here for a few hours and we can talk about all these high and mighty things, and we can go out living like the rest of the world, and we did a couple of good hours today. But really what we're talking about today is how do we become like God? That's what it's all about. And when we think about the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases, whose mercies never come to an end, who when the world seemed to be totally corrupt and there was nothing in man's heart and mind but evil always, continually. And if there was just one man in his family, God would still do what He could for them. In Sodom and Gomorrah, if He could just found, well, they started up here and worked it down, didn't they? If they could just found a handful, well, maybe two handfuls, then God wouldn't have destroyed the place. But as He destroyed the place, He made a way for those who were still wanting to follow God to get out of there. And I'm telling you this morning, whatever your difficulties are in life, if you're struggling with sin in your life, if you're having difficulty loving like God loves, if you're where you shouldn't be in your life this morning, God will help you get out of there. Because He loves you. He will always love you. He will never stop. He won't let you go. And that's what we want to be like, right? That's what we're talking about this morning. In understanding godly love, what we're really talking about is not the steadfast love of the Lord. We're talking about how does our love become like His? How does our love become steadfast? God's not willing that any should perish. Right? 2 Peter chapter 3. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why He hadn't come back yet. A day is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day. It may seem to us like He's waiting a long time. It may seem to us like He's forgotten the promise that He's made, that He's coming again. He hadn't forgotten. No, it's His steadfast love that never ceases, His mercies that never come to an end, that keep Him from coming back right now. Now, I don't know when He's coming back. One day He will come back. And we look forward to that day. We try to live our lives so as to be prepared for that day. But God hadn't come back yet because He is patient, loving, kind, merciful, full of grace for people who live in pig pens. Waiting at that road for the boy to come home. And ready to run to be with him when he finally heads that way. He doesn't wait for us to get out of our mouths, "Father, I'm sorry about the way I've treated you. I've done this, I've done that. If you'll just let me come back to you as some kind of a slave or a servant, it'd be enough for me." He never heard those words because His ceaseless love had already enveloped His boy. That's the kind of love we want to have. That's what we're talking about this morning. Now we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we want to look in particular this morning at this time at verses 7 through 12. In verses 4 through 6, as love is described in a number of different terms, and I always tell people that I counsel before marriage, if you ever wonder if you love each other, because a lot of people are waiting for that warm, fuzzy thing to go on, that doesn't tell you a whole lot. It's nice if we can have some of those warms and fuzzies, but that isn't the proof of love. If you really want to know whether you love somebody, read verses 4 through 6. It'll break it down into words you can understand beyond just a word love that we use sometimes in terms of loving our pets, loving apple pie, and I love racing and I love fishing and that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about loving each other. So break it down, verses 4 through 6, and see if you really love somebody. But we want to pick up in verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When we hear the word fail sometimes, we hear it in the context of failure versus success. And that's really not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about love never fails in the sense that it always succeeds. What he's talking about here is love never runs out. It's kind of like that widow of Zarephath that Elijah was with. He says, "Go ahead and make me a cake before you do for your boy." She says, "I only got this little bit left." He says, "You make what you need to for me and you'll have what you need." And as many times as she poured the oil and made the cakes, what happened? never ran out of oil. That cruise, as one translation says, never failed. It never ran out. And that's the way love is. Love never fails. It never runs out. That's the steadfast love of God we're talking about. The love that never ceases. The love that endures. As we think about love, verse 7 bears all things. You ever heard somebody say it? I've had enough. I've had it up to here. I've had enough. You don't say that out of love. Now, I understand sometimes we say that. I'm just saying we don't say that out of love. I understand that we get to the point where we would say that. I'm just saying when we say that, it's not out of love. Because love never fails. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. You ever heard it? They're the last to know. And then somebody says, nah, they knew it all along. They just didn't want to admit it. Now, I believe the first phrase is right. I believe that people who truly love each other, people who truly love someone, many times are the last to know because that's the way love is. Love is not suspicious. Love is not looking for the unfaithfulness. Love believes all things. And so they truly are the last to know many times because they love and they believe all things. Love hopes all things. Remember Abraham and Sarah? In Romans chapter 4, Abraham considered himself good as dead when it came to having kids. But then it goes on to say that he hoped against hope. He was able to believe. He was able to hope, even though he thought he was as good as dead as far as having kids go. But when God comes and tells you, you're going to have a son. How are you going to respond? Are you going to think that you know it? Or you think God knows it? Now this is a real conflict. I mean, it's one thing to think about Abraham. That's way far away for most of us. But bring it down to today. There are a lot of things in the Scripture as we read them that we hear and we read. We don't quite see how that's going to be the case with me. And we need to continue to hope, knowing that God is able. God is faithful, who will do what He has promised. Hopes. That's what love does. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. You love God? Then when you hear Him say those things that you wonder, not so sure about that. Are you going to go with what you think and feel, or are you going to go with what God said? Let's go with what God said. That's what love does. Love hopes all things. And then he goes on to say that love endures all things. I think about Job. James talks about, you heard of the endurance of Job, right? When all of those things happened to Job, and even though Job sometimes didn't understand what was going on, sometimes said things that even were close to the edge in his thoughts about God, still he never did accuse God in all those things, the book of Job tells us. The endurance of Job despite the difficulties of his life. Why? Because he loved God. He loved God, and love endures all things. Love never fails. Now the book goes on to tell us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8, that whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. All of these things that he has been talking to them about, especially in chapter 12, the proper understanding and practice of the spiritual gifts that God had given to the church as it began. All of those things are sometimes no longer going to be needed. The miraculous ability to know the message of God, to speak it to people. The miraculous ability to be able to speak in different languages, those tongues and all that. Those things are going to go away. But love won't go away. Prophecies will fail. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will vanish away. And when man's ability to perform miraculous gifts was no longer needed, love remained. As a matter of fact, as we see the situation here in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, as Bob talked to us about a little bit ago, from the verse just before chapter 13 starts in 12:31, where he talks about showing you a more excellent way. That's what we're talking about here. A more excellent way. He'd already addressed the divisions among them. He'd already addressed the inappropriate use of gifts and the elevation of themselves and so on. Having the ability to perform miraculous gifts is no sign of spiritual maturity. Now, there are a lot of religious folks today who think that is the key. That if a person is able to perform miraculous gifts, that shows he is spiritually mature. No, it doesn't. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14 show it's exactly not the case. Their problem was they were performing all these miraculous gifts and they were immature. They were unloving. And what they really needed to do was accept a big dose of God's steadfast love and start practicing it among themselves. This is the more excellent way. This is the way of love. This is the way people will know who we are. And I think Bob also referenced John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It is how we love each other that Jesus says will be the key to people knowing who we are. Now we need to understand the truth of God's Word. We need to be able to teach and to show other people the truth of God's Word. But when it comes right down to it, they will know that we are Christians by our love for each other. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, love that will not let me go. He just holds on. He keeps coming back again and again and again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. All these other things will cease. But love will never cease. As the last verse there in chapter 13 says, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." There's a time coming when even faith will no longer be what it is today, because when faith becomes sight, we can walk by sight, not by faith. When we see Jesus ourselves, it's no longer faith, it's sight. Here we walk by faith and not by sight. There we walk by sight. It won't be the same. It will be realized. There's a time coming when hope gives way to possessing. And there is no need for hope when you see it, when you have it. Romans chapter 8 tells us. And so it is, as we know of these things in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that are so important to us, faith, hope, and love. Which one is really going to be the enduring characteristic of the Christian's life? Love. Because faith will give way to sight. Hope will give way to possessing and seeing the reality. And it is the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. Love is the greatest of these three great things, faith, hope, and love. But love is the only one of the three that will forever endure. And God bless us to be like Him.